was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN, how wonderful a platform we have to be able to speak truth to power and free speech platform without censorship, without anyone curbing our speech. And you know, whether we agree or disagree with each other on this network, I speak for myself when I'm on this show. The first hour, we're going to be getting into the Southern Poverty Law Center. And, you know, James Corbett did a piece that I'm going to be sharing with you folks tonight, because really, after going through James's material, I don't think that I could have presented it any better. But, you know, I thought it was very interesting, the Southern Poverty Law Patriot Hit List. Chuck Baldwin, Dr. and Pastor Chuck Baldwin's going to be coming on our network. And, you know, I was perusing some background material on Dr. Baldwin, and Southern Poverty Law Center came up. So I started going down this rabbit hole again. Like, you know, I've called Mark Potok. I've discussed with him the piece that they put out that denies cultural Marxism exists. And I mean, because it's so much easier just to deny than it is to debate somebody openly and honestly and intelligently and peacefully. Of course, he doesn't have the testicular fortitude, as it were, to challenge anyone into a real debate. He can only do these hit pieces on media, mainstream media, that will give him his little time of fame. But the money that's involved with this place is ridiculous. But as I was going down their hit list of nefarious and dangerous individuals, their hate list, the top 40 names RBN made to the top 40 of the SPLC. Guess that means we're doing something right. At number one, a Christian pastor and Dr. Chuck Baldwin. Number two is Joe Bannister, former IRS special agent, who was tasked to find the proof that the income tax was in fact legitimate, which of course he couldn't, which he became disillusioned, left the IRS, and became an activist and a tax protester, of course. And of course, tax protesters, the liberals, you can't have that because they need to steal their money from somewhere. Number three is Martin Red Beckman. Four, Kathleen Bleich, head of the Liberty Restoration Project. She's still on their list. That's kind of amazing. We're going to get into that in a minute. Anyway, we go Chris Browden, Bob Campbell, Robert Crooks, Joseph Farah, Gary Franchi. That amazes me right there. I guess, whatever. Ted Gunderson, John Hassey, of course, Alex Jones, Debbie Kidd, Larry Kilgore, which was a Senate candidate from Texas, Cliff Kincaid, Mark Kowerke, Richard Mack, Sheriff Mack, who beat them in court, by the way, beat the Clinton administration in court. Fair game. Beat them. But I guess they don't recognize the courts unless they win. Jack McLam. That one kind of really ticks me off because I love Officer Jack McLam. He was a fine, upstanding patriot, and what a nice man. John McManus, Daniel New, Norm Olson, who was on the show just the other night, pastor, founder of the Michigan Militia, now Alaska Militia, Larry Pratt, Stuart Rhodes, John Rowland, Luke Rudowski, Robert Schultz, founder of We the People, Joel Skousen, God, Jim Stachowiak, longtime militia organizer, and then John Statmiller, founder of the Republic Broadcasting Network. And, you know, there's more names to this list, including, by the way, Andrew Napolitano. Judge Andrew Napolitano, former, I believe he was a Supreme Court justice in New Jersey, but he was definitely a judge in New Jersey in the higher courts, and a Fox News legal analyst, made it to the list, and Ron Paul. So Ron Paul, Andrew Napolitano, John Statmiller, and many other good folks. Oh, Mike Vanderbo, which, of course, we've interviewed and hung out with Mike before he passed as well, who was, you know, it's really amazing. So what I'm going to share with you tonight is James Corbett, who tears this down from start to finish and follows the money. You got it. If you haven't heard this presentation, you have to hear it. So grab some popcorn. Pull up to your radio or your smartphone or your computer or whatever it is that you're listening to, your radio dial, your TuneIn app, and have a gander at the SL, the Southern Poverty Liar Center, being exposed. Go ahead and roll that clip. Oh, it's no big surprise that we're having technical difficulties rolling that clip. Let me know when it's ready. I can send it to you in a multitude of other formats just in case. It's still out. We're only gonna keep trying here. I can give you. Yeah, there you go. Hit that one, the MP3 on Corbett. Yep. Don't you just love how we have these little hiccups when we're doing things like this? On
you're listening to the Corbett Report. Corbett.
Here
Report.
We go, James Corbett.
You know, yeah, you know, woman say, fucking haters, you know, I'm blind to you, haters. Can't touch me, war instigators. Miss every silo flight. Ask your only world around so. Said I'm blind to you, haters. Can't touch me, rumor creators. Miss every silo flight. Hey, ask your only world around so. When things up above, them a smile and a laugh. Them would a love to see you fall by the wayside.
Are you kidding me, Mike?
Them all a dig up your past. Pray for your downfall fast. And trigger mode from blast like them non.
Are you kidding me? Here we go! I don't know what the reggae music was, folks, but James Corbett.
CorbettReport.com.
Welcome to episode 132 of the Corbett Report. Meet the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, as you'll discover, as soon as you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center's website on splcenter.org and click on Who We Are, you can find out that the Southern Poverty Law Center is, quote, a nonprofit civil rights organization dedicated to fighting hate and bigotry and to seeking justice for the most vulnerable members of society. Founded by civil rights lawyers Morris Dees and Joseph Levin Jr. in 1971, the SPLC is internationally known for tracking and exposing the activities of hate groups. Our innovative Teaching Tolerance program produces and distributes, free of charge, documentary films, books, lessons plans, and other materials that promote tolerance and respect in our nation's schools. We are based in Montgomery, Alabama, the birthplace of the modern civil rights movement, and have offices in Atlanta, New Orleans, Miami, Florida, and Jackson, Mississippi. End quote. And one of the featured links on the homepage, and indeed on every page of splcenter.org, is a link to the Intelligence Report, the Southern Poverty Law Center's award-winning quarterly magazine on hate and extremism. So, what is there to possibly find at fault with an organization like this that is dedicated to the wonderful work of exposing hate and bigotry and calling it out, drawing attention to it, and rallying people against it? Well, of course, there would be nothing wrong with that, if that's what the SPLC was really and truly interested in doing. But that is obviously not what they're interested in doing, which is why we are about to meet the real Southern Poverty Law Center. And perhaps the best way to do that is to meet the editor of the Intelligence Report, Mark Potok, who seems to pop up at every possible opportunity to talk about those vile, evil, hate-filled people who don't believe that the government is working in their best interests.
The Southern Poverty Law Center issues every year an analysis of what happened in the prior year in amongst hate groups and other groups on the radical right. In years past, we've concentrated exclusively on hate groups, on race-based groups like the Klan and neo-Nazi groups. This year, we took a much broader look at the radical right in general because it has grown so very much. What we found was really something quite extraordinary. We haven't seen anything like this for years. We saw, first of all, hate groups are at record levels right now.
On top of that, record levels,
we saw groups that are all about immigrants, anti-immigration groups like the so-called Minutemen groups that have grown by 80% in just the last year. And most astoundingly of all, we saw a real explosion in militias and the larger anti-government patriot movement. In fact, there was a growth of 244%. There were 309 new militia and patriot groups that appeared just in the year 2009. It was really quite extraordinary.
Gee, so wonder what's behind the rise in the militia movement? How do they operate? What separates these movements from legitimate government opposition and the right to free speech? Joining us is Mark Potok, who is the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which conducted the militia study that Caroline just talked about. Good to talk to you, sir. So specifically, where do you get proof, aside from some isolated incidents, that this is a growing trend across the country?
Sure, fair enough question. I don't think it's at all isolated. We've got not only reports, all kinds of evidence of these groups actually doing training in the woods as they did back in the 90s.
Oh, my God, in the woods!
There's a huge number of these groups that have essentially come back to life, or in many cases, at least 50 we've been able to find, where new groups have formed, and it's probably a good many more than that.
In just a minute, we'll get to the Tea Party's response to this report. But first, let's bring in Mark Potok, director of the Intelligence Project for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mark, have you ever seen numbers like this?
Not in my tenure doing this work. I've been doing this for close to 15 years, and I haven't seen anything like this. I mean, the comparison, of course, is to the 90s, when we saw so much activity from militias and other anti-government patriot groups. And, of course, that's the sector of the radical right that we're really saying has exploded over the last year. A minor correction to what you said, the growth in hate groups, real race-based groups, 55% has been over the last decade or so. That's slowed a bit, but when you look at the whole grouping of the various kinds of groups on the radical right, extremist nativist groups, patriot groups, and hate groups, it's astounding. We've seen an overall growth of something like 40%. Altogether, those three strands of the radical right are really the most volatile elements out there, and they amount to something like 1,500 groups.
Now, all of that would be quite funny if it wasn't actually intended to be serious, and in fact was taken seriously by at least some of the brainwashed zombies who do take the corporate news for their gospel truth about what's going on in the world today. And all of that is unfortunately only preamble to what was really a startling document that the Southern Poverty Law Center released this April. In fact, the day before April 19th, wow, surprise, surprise, the Intelligence Report released their summer 2010 edition, entitled Meet the Patriots. Yay, Meet the Patriots. Yes, that's right. People who actually care about their country are, of course, hate-filled people who need to be watched closely. And that's the main thrust of this special report, and I will, of course, put the link up so you can read it for yourself and make your own decisions. But let's just go through some of the highlights. Basically, this is a compendium of pot shots at random people who actually stand up against injustice when it's committed by government, against government's own people. And they have even gone so far as to give each and every individual on this list a catchy little title that will make them easy to remember for those people who need shortcuts to real thinking and actually understanding what people are saying in and for themselves. So, for example, Gary Franchi, who many of my listeners will probably know from the Restore the Republic website, and for his Reality Report show, which of course is quite well done, and I would certainly suggest people check it out for themselves at restoretherepublic.com. But Gary Franchi is not Gary Franchi, he's the FEMA Fabulist, like some sort of Batman villain or something comic booky like that. Or, for example, we have Joe Bannister, who many of my listeners will probably know quite well from Aaron Russo's seminal work, America, Freedom to Fascism, an excellent documentary that really is one of the base documentaries from which anyone can build an understanding of what's really happening in their government. Joe Bannister is not Joe Bannister, he's the repentant tax man. And we have Bulldozer versus Bulldozer, Martin Red Beckman. Yes, this 80-year-old man is just such a threat to the system that they have to include him in their list of people to watch out for because of their vile hatred towards the government. And on and on and on. In fact, many of these people have either been mentioned on my show before or actually interviewed on the show before, like Stuart Rhodes, founder of the Oath Keepers, or people who I think many of my listeners will be familiar with or should be familiar with. And let's just take one specific example just to see how ridiculous this report really is. We have Catherine Bleich, who is a 26-year-old, but going under the ridiculous title Needle of Estrogen for this little report, and the Southern Poverty Law Center saw to it to write this about her. Catherine Bleich, one of the few female leaders in the resurgent Patriot movement, runs the Liberty Restoration Project and has become a popular speaker on the Patriot circuit. It's quite frightening the amount of power and authority that our government has assumed for themselves, Bleich told the intelligence report. They say, we are the supreme being. We have the guns. We are going to do it our way. Bleich of St. Louis, Missouri, speaks passionately about the anger that's fueling the movement. It's so hard to start a small business, and once you start one, it's hard to keep it open. My parents are being audited for the past 6 years while Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, who doesn't pay his taxes, now gets to oversee the IRS, she said. People are losing their homes. People are losing their jobs. People are frustrated and looking for answers. Like many other Patriot leaders, Bleich charges that the government is behind these economic woes. The dollar has been systematically destroyed, and that is not the American people's doing. That is the central bank. The central bankers, what they do is they go from country to country, and they destroy currency and bring themselves lots of power and lots of wealth. Though Bleich said no one in the movement with whom she's worked wants violence, she added that people will be driven to defend themselves if the country continues on its current course. The actions of our federal government are going to create violence, and my goal is to try and stop it peacefully before it gets to that point. I'm trying to follow the channels that are still afforded to me to talk to people face to face, but they're going to try and take away my ability to communicate with people of a like mindset. Bleich has taken part in key Patriot events, attending the seminal May 2009 Jekyll Island meeting that helped lay the groundwork for the resurgence of the movement. She also spoke at the Freedom 21 conference in Oklahoma City last August, and she was the main organizer for the Midwest Liberty Fest in Illinois last October. But it's not all thankless work. A glam shot of Bleich was featured in the 2009-2010 Ladies of Liberty Alliance calendar.
We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RPN.
Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back, folks. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Now, you know, in 2010, February 18th to 20th, the Conservative Political Action Conference was co-sponsored by an anti-government, they call anti-government patriot groups, including John Birch Society. In March 2010, in this Southern Poverty piece that I have in front of me, a CNN opinion research corporation poll finds that 56% of Americans believe that the federal government is so large and so powerful that it poses an immediate threat to the rights and freedoms of ordinary citizens. Now, it goes on to say in 95 that just days after the Oklahoma City bombing, a USA Today poll found that 39% of Americans then agreed with that same statement. Mark Potok, you want to know why militias are forming? First of all, it is a founding principle of this nation, and I understand your collectivist progressive mentality requires a big totalitarian government to basically steal the wealth from the people to redistribute it. But the millions of dollars that are about to be shared with you folks as to where the money really comes and how much is really actually spent should open your eyes a little bit. But Mark Potok, you want to know why people are forming militias? By the way, something mentioned in the Constitution several times. It may just have something to do with that overreaching federal government. Go ahead and roll the clip. James Corbett.
Many women involved in the liberty movement have experienced the frustrating feeling of isolation when they look around and realize they are just a needle of estrogen in a haystack of testosterone, she wrote last August. The Ladies of Liberty Alliance is a brand new organization working to end that feeling of isolation forever. End quote. And if you're wondering exactly what in that report there was to fear or to ridicule or to deride about Catherine Blaish, even from her own words or the words that the Southern Poverty Law Center themselves wrote about her, you're not the only one. In fact, I don't think there's anything at all that could be taken of offense of in that article, even if you're trying to portray her as some sort of purveyor of dangerous government conspiracy theories. She specifically says that it's not about violence and she's trying to talk to people face to face. That does not sound like a monster by anyone's stretch of the imagination, except perhaps for Mark Potok, Morris Dees, and the other, well, hate pimps of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And perhaps a clearest example that I can give of that is to actually play a clip, a very important and very powerful clip of Catherine Blaish talking to the Austin City Council about their decision, which they are currently making, whether or not to accept funding for what's known as fusion centers, or federally funded law enforcement centers that were funded through the Homeland Security Department in order to fuse together all of the intelligence and analysis in an area. And I'll put up a link so you can find out more about that directly from DHS.gov. But basically, yes, these are represent an extreme infringement on civil liberties and an extreme encroachment and centralization of power of the federal government into local law enforcement, and thus need to be vociferously opposed at every opportunity. And that's exactly what Catherine Blaish did at a recent meeting of the Austin City Council. So let's listen to a little bit of her speech so we can hear directly what this hate monger, Catherine Blaish, needle of estrogen, has to say about civil liberties and the encroaching police state.
My name is Catherine Blaish. I'm a new resident of the Austin area. I came here from Missouri. I founded an organization in Missouri called the Liberty Restoration Project, and we focus on personal privacy as well as state sovereignty. And I became very much so involved in fusion center research after the Missouri Information Analysis Center in Missouri profiled me as a potentially radical violent militia member because of my political beliefs. So these fusion centers have a very intimate impact on my life, and that put me on a track of in-depth research. Our organization partnered up with TAG, and we've been traveling the country visiting fusion centers and speaking to people in their communities about fusion centers and how they can get involved with them. And thankfully, in Missouri, we were successful in having that report that I mentioned that profiled people like me who support various political ideologies. That was retracted, and we went through 4 legislative hearings with our state legislature in order to get this situation dealt with, and it's an ongoing process. We're still dealing with it up there. I have moved down here, but our organization is still focused on that. Unfortunately, no one's been held accountable for that. Yeah, the director of the Fusion Center, they lost their job, but they got moved to another department. They still have a taxpayer-funded position, and the repercussions of that document are still reverberating throughout the nation right now. So I want to speak to some concerns that I have with this Fusion Center moving forward today, and I want to ask that you all consider the gravity of the vote you will be making. If you do choose to move forward with this, I fear it is in haste, and I feel that you may regret that decision because the opportunity for even more scandal to rock the Austin area is huge. If you consider that in Arizona, we were told by their Fusion Center staff that if you're planning a rally in Arizona, they will run your name through a Fusion Center database with no criminal predicate. Although criminal predicate is what they're supposed to be based upon, correct?
Folks, Catherine Blaish. We'll get to the rest of that clip when we return from our break. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast. The clip that you were listening to and you're going to continue to listen to is Catherine Blight. Go ahead and roll the clip.
Right. The Maryland State Police, through their Fusion Center, entered 56 anti-war activist names into a database, a terror database. You have in Oklahoma. We visited them earlier this year, and they said that other than them, there were only two other Fusion centers in the nation that had privacy policies that were accepted by DHS. So that shows you right there that, you know, the privacy policy that y'all have been working on down here, that's a living document, and it may or may not be as constraining as some of the activists here originally thought, especially considering most fusion centers operate without one. And in the Seattle Fusion Center, there was an FBI analyst who was assigned there by the FBI, but he worked for the State Fusion Center, and he spent 2 years infiltrating an anti-war group to the point where he was managing their databases and sitting down intimately in their meetings. I'm not trying to say that anyone who works for the Austin Police Department or anyone here locally has bad intentions, but the fact of the matter is these fusion centers are riddled just completely with scandal after scandal after scandal, instances of fraud, abuse, misuse. And I think that you all, as the representatives of the people of this community, owe it to them to do them the service of properly vetting this fusion center before you move forward and potentially put people at risk. And it goes further than that. Not only was I profiled for my political beliefs by my government in my state, and I had to fight to have that retracted, but because of that fight, the Southern Poverty Law Center, an institution that does training for Fusion Center staff, now has my face and my name up on their website, a website that is designed to identify people who commit acts of violence and hate and who are racist, and that is not me at all. Those are the people who get paid by the DHS to train Fusion Center staff on how to identify potential threats. Is that what we want to be doing here in Austin? You know, I'm moving down here. I came down here in February. I plan to be a long-term resident of Austin. I left one community that was treating me, I felt, very horribly because of my political beliefs through the use of their Fusion Centers. I don't want to come to another community like this. And when you consider that you guys do have no refusal weekends where you do take blood from people forcibly, when you consider that just a week ago that grant application still was calling for the Fusion Center to assist in the implementation of rapid inoculations in the case of a mass crisis, it begs me to question, if you're willing to forcibly take something out of my body, how do I know you're not going to forcibly put something into my body? And I don't think that law enforcement or a Fusion Center have any role in that whatsoever.
Okay, all right. I trust that the point is well made that, yes, the SPLC really doesn't like anyone who happens to disagree with this current administration, certainly on the left, or indeed anyone who spouts anything that they deem to be anti-government. No matter how spot on that analysis is, no, these are vile, hate-spewing people that need to be watched closely. Well, I think my listeners will understand what's really going on here, and we'll see through that. But is there anything more to this, or is the Southern Poverty Law Center simply another organization that makes money from donations by spewing conspiracy theories about people spewing conspiracy theories? Well, I think it goes much, much deeper than that, and as always, the Corbett Report has the documentation to prove it, so let's start digging into the SPLC to discover what they're really about. But first, I'd like to give a tip of my hat to a poster on the Prison Planet Forum, going by the name Sok Eng Rez, who posted a post on April 2nd, 2010, full of very interesting information about the Southern Poverty Law Center, and more importantly, with at least the sources of that information, so that I could go back and check it for myself, which is always helpful, and which is why I put the documentation list together for every single episode of the Corbett Report, and I certainly hope that people are making use of this so that you can go and check the information for yourself, because that is, as always, the most important thing. So let's start checking through some of the documentation that Sok Eng Rez was kind enough to post on the Prison Planet Forum, and of course I'll include a link to that post so you can check that out for yourself as well as the following documents. First up, we have an article from the Washington Times by Wesley Perdue, editor-in-chief, under the title, When a Hate Crime is Something to Love. Quote, Black pain and white piety is a winning combination in contemporary America, as any number of phony liberals have demonstrated over the years. Nobody manipulates this combination better than Morris Deves. Few do it as well. Racism in America has become big business, real and otherwise, which is no doubt why Bill Clinton, who got caught several years ago peddling a phony story about church burning in Arkansas, says he'll be getting into it from his $700,000 a year offices in Midtown Manhattan. The appetite for sensation, even when it is a half-baked sensation, is insatiable, and Morris Deves could show him how to profit from it. Mr. Deves is a lawyer in Montgomery, Alabama, who is the national chairman of something called the Southern Poverty Law Center, which sounds like the hideout of a noble band of warriors against hate crime and other racial wrongs, but is actually a fundraising scheme that could teach televangelists a thing or two. In fact, maybe it has. Morris Deves, says his former partner, is the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker of the civil rights movement, though I don't mean to malign Jim and Tammy Faye. Mr. Deves took in $44 million from gullible contributors, mostly white, in 1999, and spent $13 million actually trying to help the poor and beaten down, mostly black, fight for their civil rights. He has been well known for years to reporters in the South, most of whom have never written about who he really is. Mr. Deese, like the late I.F. Stone or the living Jesse Jackson, became a pet rock of the media, engaged in a calling so noble that it is regarded as tasteless or at least suicidal to notice that he runs around naked. The Reverend Billy Don Moyers endorses his fundraising schemes, so what else does anyone need to know? Ken Silverstein recently told another version of the Morris Deese story in Harper's Magazine, and it's a tale well told. What captured Mr. Silverstein's attention is the most recent project of the Deese Law Center, a kit called Teaching Tolerance that is available for only $30 on the Deese website, with the firm but meaningless assurance that it's a $325 value. Why not $425? $525? What the buyer gets is a compendium of hate crimes that any casual newspaper reader already knows about, described in vivid ink of a purple hue, spreading the alarm that the Ku Klux Klan, heavily armed white citizen militias, and six Nazi panzer divisions that never made it to Omaha Beach are bearing down on Cleveland, or maybe Providence. Even a journalist for the 11 o'clock eyeball news on channels 3 through 10 would blush twice trying to peddle stuff like this. Then we get the dirty little secrets of hate crime reporting. Horrifying as such incidents are, writes Mr. Silverstein, hate groups commit almost no violence. More than 95% of all hate crimes, including most of the incidents Mr. D cites, bombings, church burnings, school shootings, are perpetrated by lone wolves. Indeed, membership in the Ku Klux Klan, which is the most lucrative D's fundraising target, has shrunk so dramatically that the Klan would have been out of business years ago, but for FBI infiltration. In some chapters, the only members with paid-up dues are FBI informants. In one case by Mr. Silverstein, Morris Deese won a judgment for a black woman whose son was killed by Klansmen. She received $51,875 as settlement. Mr. Deese, according to an investigation by the Montgomery Advisor, pulled in $9 million from fundraising solicitation letters that featured a particularly gruesome photograph of the grieving mother's dead son. Mr. Deese, who pays himself an annual salary of $275,000, offered the grieving mother none of the $9 million her son's death made for him. End quote. Moving right along, we have this report from Alexander Coburn of Counterpunch.org under the title King of the Hate Business. Quote, what is the arch salesman of hate mongering, Mr. Morris Deese of the Southern Poverty Law Center, doing now? He's saying that the election of a black president proves his point. Hate is on the rise. Send money. Without skipping a beat, the mailshot moguls who year after year make money selling the notion there's been a right resurgence out there in the hinterland with massed legions of haters have used the election of a black president to say that, yes, hate is on the rise and America ready to burst apart at the seams, with millions of extremists primed to march down Main Street draped in Klan robes, a copy of Mein Kampf tucked under one arm and a Bible under the other, available for sneak photographs from minions of Chip Burlett, another salesman of the Christian menace, ripely endowed with millions to battle the legions of the cross. Ever since 1971, U.S. Postal Service mailbags have bulged with these fundraising letters, scaring dollars out of the pockets of trembling liberals aghast at his lurid descriptions of hate-sodden America in dire need of legal confrontation by the SPLC. 9 years ago, Ken Silverstein wrote a devastating commentary on Deese and the SPLC in Harper's, dissecting a typical swatch of Deese's solicitations. At that time, as Silverstein pointed out, the SPLC was the wealthiest civil rights group in America, with $120 million in assets. As of October 2008, the net assets of the SPLC were $170,240,129. The merchant of hate himself, Mr. Deese, was paid an annual $273,132 as chief trial counsel, and the SPLC's president and CEO, Richard Cohen, $290,193. Total revenue in 2007 was $44,727,257, and program expenses, $20,000. $804,536. In other words, the Southern Poverty Law Center was raising twice as much money as it was spending on its proclaimed mission. Fundraising and administrative expenses accounted for $9 million, leaving $14 million to be put in the center's vast asset portfolio. The 990 nonprofit tax record for the SPLC indicates that the assets fell by about $50 million last year, meaning that, like almost all nonprofits, the SPLC took a bath in the stock crash. So what was the end result of all that relentless hoarding down the years as people of modest means, scared by Dees, sent him their contributions? Were they put to good use? It doesn't seem so. They vanished in an electronic blip. End quote. Again, very, very interesting when you start to look into the finances and the unbelievable assets of this charity with over $170 million stashed away. $170 million stashed away in its coffers and continuing to solicit funds at every possible opportunity as if they're about to go bankrupt at any moment. Well, as unbelievable as all of that is, and as absolutely disgusting as it is, it gets even worse. Now, in order to find out about that, we're going to have to switch gears entirely to a subject that you might not have been expecting, but here it is, the OKC bombing. We picked the story up from 2005 when lawyer Jesse Trenadu was coming up with documents related to the death of his brother in Salt Lake City. And again, for people who don't know about the Jesse Trenadu case, that's extremely interesting, extremely important, and there are documents that have come out from that case which are absolutely central to understanding the OKC bombing case. But in order to get an indication of what these documents contain, let's go to a 2005 article by J.D. Cash under the headline, FBI Surrenders Documents That Judge Ordered. Quote, under pressure from a federal judge to produce at least 87 pages of unredacted internal FBI documents related to the 1995 bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building, the Oklahoma City FBI office has filed under seal documents with the Salt Lake City Federal Court that could unlock some of the mysteries surrounding the terrorist attack that left 168 dead. Along with the documents under seal, the agency cited a number of reasons that court should continue to protect persons whose names were originally blacked out of some of the crucial documents, and certain facts the FBI alone possesses about activities at a paramilitary terrorist training camp called Elohim City. Filed in federal court in Salt Lake City, Utah, attorneys for the U.S. Department of Justice argued that the FBI Oklahoma City office should not have to make public details that some believe could prove the FBI had prior knowledge of the plot to bomb the Oklahoma City federal bombing, but somehow failed to stop it. This litigation is part of a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by Salt Lake City attorney Jesse Trenadu. At the center of the controversy is an unclassified copy of a memorandum marked from the director of the FBI, that contains several references to an FBI undercover operation at Elohim City before the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building. The electronic message was sent to the OK Bomb Investigation Task Force and a select group of FBI offices around the nation some 8 months after the 1995 Federal Building bombing. The potentially explosive contents of the teletype, among other things, exposed for the first time an informant operation being conducted by nationally known civil rights lawyer Morris Dees through his organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center. In some detail, the FBI acknowledged the SPLC was engaged in an undercover role where it monitored subjects for the FBI believed to be linked to executed bomber Timothy McVeigh, the white supremacist compound at Elohim City, and the mysterious German national, Andreas Karl Strassmeier. End quote. Yes, the convoluted trail does lead right through Elohim City to the Oklahoma City bombing itself, where, guess who? Yes, the SPLC were running informants. And yes, Elohim City is very much a key part in the entire OKC story, with it being completely admitted that, yes, Timothy McVeigh did make a call on April 17th to the Elohim City compound, and he did hang out with FBI informant Andreas Strassmeier. Absolutely a key piece of the puzzle. So to put together some of those pieces, let's listen to a clip of a fascinating interview with Jesse Trenadu from antiwar.com that was conducted on March 30th of this year. about the SPLC and their role in the OKC bombing.
All right, now, what do you have? And, you know, I just, I shouldn't make this personal, but I guess I kind of am making it personal. Every day I turn on TV and somebody from the Southern Poverty Law Center is saying that anyone who does not approve of whatever the administration is doing at any given time is basically a neo-Nazi, basically responsible for the Oklahoma bombing. If you're a member of the Tea Party movement, which I'm certainly not and haven't, not much in common with, but according to them, if you're a member of the Tea Party movement, then, well, you're basically John Doe number two. And, you know, it's extra frustrating to me since John Doe two apparently was an undercover FBI informant, and they get to go ahead and continue to, you know, beat any dissent against a democratically controlled government over the head with this bombing. But it's always somebody from the Southern Poverty Law Center who's the guest, the expert guest who gets to tell us how many hate groups there are in America at any given time and conflate basically anybody to the right of Rachel Maddow together with Timothy McVeigh. And so I'm kind of curious to know what evidence you have, Jesse, that the Southern Poverty Law Center was in any way involved with the neo-Nazi slash cops who did the Oklahoma bombing.
Well, it appears, and first of all, I agree with you. It's a sad state in our country's history where to voice an opinion means you're attacked from one side or the other. Just we can no longer discuss things as a nation or a people. I mean, we've become so divided now that you're either one side or the other, or you're forced into one side or the other. But as for the Southern Poverty Law Center, they had apparently informants. Another level of informants at Elohim City at the same time that Strassmeyer and Carol Howell and the other government informants were there. These documents that have been produced and not widely reported on refer to the Southern Poverty Law Center reporting to the FBI the information it was receiving from its informants at Elohim City about the bombing.
Now, do you know who those informants were?
I do not.
Are there any indications whether...
The names are blacked out. The FBI pleaded with the judge not to turn over any of the documents because they said they had guaranteed five or six people anonymity and confidentiality, and it would expose them to risk of their lives if their names were disclosed. And the judge said, well, black out the names, but turn the documents over. So I have documents talking about the informants, but the informants' names are redacted or blacked out.
So there's
by their own admission, they've had five or six there that they had promised protection.
But I guess, are there any other, because, you know, I remember J.D. Cash talking about this back in the day, and I forget whether he said there was any other indication as to the identities of the informants that were working with Morris Dees.
I suspect that Strassmeyer was reporting to the Southern Poverty Law Center, too.
Once again, Jesse Trendadue on antiwar.com. And once again, you really have to go and listen to that entire interview and find out more about Jesse Trendadue if it's your first time encountering his information, because it is absolutely central to the Oklahoma City bombing case. And his story is quite an interesting one about how seemingly unrelated events can lead one right into the heart of something you would never have expected. Very interesting story, and very extremely interesting that the SPLC was an FBI cutout in the Elohim City running informants in this white supremacist compound whereby they could get information about the Oklahoma City bombing before it happened, and oh, just somehow it didn't quite work out and the bombing went ahead. Well, there's of course much, much, much more to the Oklahoma City bombing story, but the SPLC running white supremacists at the Elohim City compound is extremely interesting in and of itself. And once again, please go to get and download the PDF of the Freedom of Information documents that Jesse Trendadue obtained from the FBI regarding the OK bombing case, because absolutely those documents are extremely interesting to read, as heavily redacted as they are. I think there's no doubt that we have shown to a large extent exactly what the SPLC is, how it operates, and what it's about in today's episode. The only question is how to confront it, especially when it is still being taken seriously by the corporate media and those who unquestioningly follow the corporate media. And that is a bit of a conundrum, because unfortunately there are still too many people who will unquestioningly believe any talking head who comes on their TV and claims to be combating hate groups that are going to be lurking under your bed and coming to steal your rights at any moment, when of course we all know it's the government that goes much further and has much more control over those types of things. And look for Mark Potok and the SPLC to feature prominently in Chris Matthews' upcoming hit piece on the rise of the new right, which will be airing on the 16th and will probably air 200 more times over the course of the year on MSNBC. So if the question is how to confront this group, well, the answer is the same as it is for how we confront any group that uses lies, dissembling, and mendacity to get their political objectives, and that is simply to expose them to the light of the truth. The poverty pimps and race baiters who hide behind the racist smear against anyone who disagrees with Obama cannot stand the light of scrutiny, and we are exposing their methods and tactics. They can wear their masks, they can be counterfeits, poverty pimps and race baiters, but we will expose them, and they will lose not only their credibility, but their vast fortunes.
Yes, they will. Their vast fortunes. Folks, there's a reason why I'm starting Monday night with James Corbett's analysis of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tomorrow I'm going to be breaking down, and I think that this is important. Most of you that have listened to me, although I've been gone for a year, know that I really am into the history of how we've gotten to where we are. Wednesday, we're going to be having Dr. Chuck Baldwin, just 2 days from today. Wednesday evening, we're going to be having Pastor Dr. Chuck Baldwin on the show, who has been absolutely attacked by this organization. And I assure you, he's an honorable Christian pastor and doctor. I mean, this man, he doesn't have hate in him. He does not. It's just ridiculous what this organization has managed to do and be paid taxpayers' dollars to accomplish that. So tomorrow we're going to be delving back into a little bit of history of a piece that Bill Berkowitz of the Southern Poverty Law Center put out of reframing the enemy. And I'm going to share that with you, and I'm going to respond to it, because now some time has passed since this was put out. And now, as we have seen things advance, we can see just how absolutely false the claims are of this organization. Hour two coming up in defense of Ben Swan. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
Welcome to the face of the new democracy.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.